Good morning, Representative Becker. This is Robin Travers over at 660 Keys News Radio in Williston. How are you?
I'm great, Robin.
Thank you so much for taking the call. I know it's a pretty big deal that you're coming out this way. So I just wanted to, if I could, ask you a few questions about your run and your trip out this way, if I could.
You bet. Happy to.
Okay. So first of all, I got my homework in front of me here. So I know you're hoping to, you know, get your hat officially in the ring, you know, this time as an independent for the Senate race. And to do that, you know, we know you'll need those 1,000 signatures. So I guess the first question I have is, why come to the Bakken? What is prompting you to come out essentially this far west of the state?
Right. Well, I'm going all throughout the state, and I've got we're going to initiate with four loops. Essentially, it's southwest, northwest, southeast, northeast, and a couple of central ones too. So the why I'm coming out is because the Bakken is an important area of North Dakota. You know, all areas are important, and I want to make sure that I'm hitting all the areas. The we'll say the philosophical demographic varies widely. You know, Watford City, Tioga, Williston is far different than Fargo. Nevertheless, I have to go to all areas. The other thing, though, I have to say is to go up into the Bakken area is fun for me, frankly, because it's always more fun when you go into an area where you're well received. And I have a lot of support, a tremendous amount of support. Up in the Bakken region, the northwest, actually just pretty much all the west of North Dakota. So, you know, it's when you go into a little bit more of difficult territory, like say Fargo or Grand Forks, you know, it's the chill in the air is palpable sometimes. But you go to essentially it's almost like going to a family reunion when I go out west.
Okay, well That's something I just did not know. So thank you for that. Is this the first stop on your tour, so to say?
Yesterday was my first little loop, and I did kind of the South Central, did the Linton, Napoleon, Ashley, Jamestown area. So this is day number two that I'll be coming out in your area.
Okay. Do you feel then that you will, or should maybe I should ask it this way, what is your feeling about how quickly you would amass the 1,000 signatures? And then I'm assuming with the way that these initiated things have gone of late, you'd want to be maybe quite a bit over that to have a bit of a buffer, no?
Exactly right. Yeah, I like how you phrase that. Yeah, we can expect that, you know, the Secretary of State is going to scrutinize, they should scrutinize everything that comes in to a degree. But we know that if you're not a quote-unquote friendly, it maybe will be scrutinized a little even closer. So, yes, we're going to want to get more than 1,000 signatures. How it's going, it's kind of, frankly, you know, it's hard to say. It's 1,000 signatures is a low threshold, yet when you're just kind of going out and talking person to person, it's actually a lot. However, I have full confidence we'll get them. We'll get over 1,000 signatures in plenty of time. Today being day number two, it's difficult to say. I'll have a much better idea after today, after tomorrow, and just to see how difficult it will or won't be. But I'm just not worried. I think we've got a tremendous amount of support.
Okay, what is the loop that you're covering today?
Yes, indeed. Today we are, let me pull it up here so I have the time. We're going to be in Watford City at the Kent Pelton Nature Park at 12:30. And then we'll be in Williston at Davidson Park at 2:30. And then we will be in Tioga at Poor Decisions at 4:30. And then I'll be up in McGregor for a Sons of Liberty meeting at 6:00.
Okay, so then interested parties could catch you at any of those locations.
Yes, absolutely. You know, come out to any of those areas, and I'm happy to answer questions. You know, I've got, it's not all just hugs and loves and kisses. I have people asking me hard questions, and I actually enjoy that. If anyone has questions or challenges or just wants to get to know me a little bit more, why I'm running, what it is that I would do differently than John Hoven, which is a lot, I'm happy to have those discussions. And certainly I'd love to get your signature just so that I can be on the ballot and give people, instead of having just an option between a big spending Democrat and a big spending Republican, I'd love to give them something that's a little more palatable.
Well, you, Representative Becker, you just made my job a little easier. Thank you for that segue, because that is my next question. And I know that I did see your interview with actually a news partner of ours on the TV side, KX News, where you referenced, you know, a big spending Democrat and a big spending Republican. I'd like you, if you could, to drill down a little more specifically on what made you decide to go this route, you know, up against John Hoven. What are some of the more specific things, if you could, that you fault him for? Because I'm sure that you've come across those folks that would say, you know, hey, you know, why should we put our faith, hope, and whatnot in you when you are the gentleman who vowed, if we go back to April in the convention, not to pursue, you know, primary Senator Hoven, et cetera. So if you could kind of just maybe more explain that landscape,
sure,
that would be great.
Yep. Well, you bring up a good point within the question that I want to address. And the way you phrased it is absolutely perfect, because, you sort of indicated that maybe I'm going against my vow. But you, in your question, clarified the vow was to not run in the primary. So I pledged to the convention delegates that I would not go on to the primary. And that's key, and that's because that's what the convention is all about, is who's going to be the Republican nominee. So I stayed out and did not run. Hoven had a clear path to become the Republican nominee, and on the general ballot in the election here in November, he's going to be the Republican candidate. He is. And that's a tremendous advantage. So I kept my pledge. So I just want to be clear, because it's very important to me. I always keep my word. The pledge is for the primary. It's not, political mumbo jumbo. It's actually what it means, which is why the media asked two questions afterwards. Number one, they asked, am I going to keep my honor or keep my pledge? And then number two, they followed up with, will you run in the general? They're two different things. So anyway, I don't want to belabor that point, but I kept my pledge, and now I'm moving on. The question is, okay, why and what sets me apart? Why did I feel compelled? And I'll tell you, one of the big things, well, first let me say a second thing. I was not planning on running. I have some different plans for my life, or I did, and was not planning on running. I had most of my campaign materials, because we still had a lot of campaign materials, because I truly believed we were going to win the convention, and it was very close. But I had a lot of my campaign materials in one location that I needed to clear out, and this was 3 weeks ago. I threw them all away, sadly, and because I had no intention. But so the question is, what's happened in the last 3 weeks? And the answer is that we continue to be in this precarious place with inflation and where the economy is going. And John Hoven now has the audacity to come out, and he's being more and more vocal about how we have to stop inflation and what we, you know, with this and that, and he's blaming everyone except himself for inflation. And that's just what's getting at me, because inflation is due to several factors. Some of it is Joe Biden's energy policy. A little bit of it is Vladimir Putin invading the Ukraine. But what the politicians are not acknowledging, what John Hoven will stay 100 miles away from, is the fact that the biggest reason for inflation is the overspending that Congress has done in the last few years. That's number one. And so when he's coming out, thumping his chest, saying we need to do something about inflation and not owning his responsibility, I just find that unacceptable, which means we would be sending him back for him to continue doing the same thing. Now, if he had come out and said, hey, folks, this inflation is a serious, serious problem, and I do recognize now that we overspent, that we in Congress and the Senate contributed to this inflation, and I vow to you that we are no longer going to overspend, I would have stayed out of the race completely. So it comes down to how can we, at this point in America, when we are at a crossroads, when we're looking over the edge of a cliff, how can we send the same people back to Washington and expect a different result? How are we going to change course? How are we going to save America if we just blindly send the same people back who got us into this mess in the first place?